All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 this morning. We're going to start there. And while you're turning there, I want to thank everyone who put all this together this weekend, all the hard work and labor that's gone into this, the prayer, the thoughtfulness, and allow me to be up here to share God's word with you. This morning, we're going to be looking at workers together with God. Workers together with God. 2 Corinthians, I'm not there yet. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in chapter 6, verse 1. We then as workers together with him. Whoa! When you get up in the morning, are you excited about what's going to happen today? I am. Yeah. When you go to bed at night, are you thinking about tomorrow? How great it's going to be? How fun it's going to be? What is going to be in store for Drew Pappas today? I mean, well, I'm working together with the creator of the heaven and earth, the God of all power and might, the God who knows everything. He can do anything. I am working with him. I am a worker together with him. That ought to thrill my life. Now, we're going to do something. I was going to sing a song for you today, but I don't sing, and nor do I play an instrument. But I have a song here, and Bob, I forgot to tell you this, so just you'll have to translate as best you can. But I need your help, all right? I need your help. This is the first time I've ever tried this. We'll see how it goes. All right. I want everybody to just start. Here, we're going to go bump, 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 bump. All right, everybody just bump, 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 bump. Woke up, fell out of bed, dragged a comb across my head. Found my way downstairs and drank a cup. Looking up, I noticed I was late. Boom, boom. Grabbed my coat, found my hat, made the bus in seconds flat. Found my way upstairs and had a smoke. And somebody spoke, and I went into a dream. All right. That is the life of most people who live in this world. Not us, though. No, we're excited about life because we're working with God. How many of you in a job would you prefer to work by yourself or have someone working with you? Yeah, absolutely. It's more fun, right? And what if the person working with you is an expert in the field? That's even more fun, right? I've been in a job where both of us didn't know what we were doing. That's no fun. But every so often, my brother-in-law will come down to visit us in Charlotte. And when he does, I have a list of projects for him because he is a master electrician. That's right. And so we work together. And he was here recently, and I had two outlets to fix on my back porch. And so, Kevin, will you help me fix these? Oh, yeah, sure. And so I'm his helper. He's the worker. I'm helping. First thing he says to me is, "We'll turn the power off." I'm like, "Oh, that's a great idea, because I would have, all right, I'd be here with you today." That's right. Anyway, so we're working on this little project. You know, my job is he's got a screwdriver, pliers. You know, that's me. Anyway, but then something breaks in the box, and the screw is so old that the screws weren't coming out. And we can't figure it out. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. If this is me working by myself and you come to my house, there'd be an outlet hanging out off the wall, like looking like this, right? Because I would not know what to do. But he knew what to do. He worked and figured it out because he was a master at it. And I had a good time. I learned a lot and I had a great time working with him. It was fun. Has anybody ever been deep sea fishing before? Yeah. I've been twice in my life. The first time I went, we chartered a boat and went out and we went out about 2 hours. I don't know how far out we went, but the captain, he stopped. He puts something on my hook. He says, throw your hook in there. I throw it in there. It goes to the bottom, red snapper, bring it up. And we're all like, for 2 hours, boom. After a while, I'm going, stop, man, I gotta rest. I'm so tired, I can't pull up anymore. We must have caught 300 or 400 pounds of red snapper that day. It was crazy. He was a master. He knew what he was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just throwing a hook in the water. I was helping, but not too much. And it was just something. So we are workers together with God. We are working together with God. It's such a great joy and a great privilege. But I got to ask you, And I asked myself, I'm a worker with God, but what's the job? What's the job? When you go to work, don't you want to know what the job is? What is the job? What is the project? What are we going to be working on? Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and in verse 18, it tells you very clearly. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is the job. That's the job that you and I have been given. God has given us this job, the ministry of reconciliation. So my choice was outlets or fisher. It turns out I'm a fisher. Fisher of men, right? That's right. That's the job. Fisher of men, fishing for people's lives. We have this job. You know who had this job before us? Jesus Christ. That's right. And you know when he was hanging on the cross and the last words he said is what? It is finished, right? He did his job, and now it's our turn to do our job. Our job is to be that one who will reconcile men back to God, ministers of God's righteousness, ministries of the reconciliation, bringing men and women back to God. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, it was finished, and God asked us to be dead sacrifices, right? No. Oh, no, living sacrifices. We get to live for him. We get to live for him. We get to live and enjoy life to the fullest and have the greatest time ever. We're in the rescue business. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. When you start a new job, like if you're in Charlotte and you work for one of the big banks, Bank of America, for example, and you go in there, first thing they're going to do is going to give you the manual, the handbook. And in that manual and handbook, it's going to describe to you as a worker at Bank of America all your responsibilities. It's going to lay out your job and tell you exactly what you're supposed to do, how you're going to do it, what's expected of you. It's going to be your rights are going to be in there, your privileges, your obligations, your goals, your objectives. Everything's going to be laid out in that manual. As workers together with God, he not only is sending us out there, but he's given us the manual. He's given us the workbook. He's given us the playbook on how to do this job that he has given us to do, that Jesus Christ did, now we get to do. And every place from Genesis 1:1 all the way through Revelation 22:21 gives you either information for your learning or is directly to you as a worker together with God. So, as a worker together with God, we have to do one more thing. We need a title. Am I either going to be the CEO? Am I going to be the CEO, the COO? Am I going to be VP in charge of whatever? Well, verse 20 says it. It gives you the title. Now then, we are ambassadors. That is the title. So you are a worker together with God. You have the ministry of reconciliation. You have the playbook, the manual, and your title is ambassador. Ambassador for Christ. We take the place of the absent Christ, right? That's correct. We take his place. We are now that ambassador. Jesus was the ambassador before. Now we are. Now we are the ambassador that is holding forth the word of God. So reconciliation is my game. Ambassador is my name. Right? You got it? That's right. That's right. This morning, what I want to do is take a little bit of time, and I want to give you 10 functions or characteristics of an ambassador, what an ambassador does, and maybe just see a little bit. So we're going to have to move quickly here because I don't have a whole lot of time to do this, but I'm going to do it in a way that you will never forget. Never. Does everybody know what an acronym is? An acronym, like we use the word NATO, North American Treaty Organization, right? NATO. How about SOGWAP? Anybody know what a SOGWAP is? Yes. Yeah. Right. That's an acronym. These letters put together to tell you whatever. But anyway, I'm going to do an acronym, but in reverse. I've already got the word. Now I'm going to tell you what each letter in the word is regarding an ambassador, okay? So if you are a note taker, put down A. All right, A. All right, the letter A down. All right, A. And speaking of notes, you know, are you ever sitting in a teaching and someone's teaching and they're hitting a subject and you're like, in your mind, you're going, man, he's going to go to, this verse is going to be, he's going to be, and he doesn't use that verse. And you go, golly, that was such a good verse. Well, when I'm teaching or when anybody's teaching and that comes to your mind, I think God's working in you, right? Write that down in your notes too. Take a note. You know what? You can't, unless you have a photographic memory, a note is a good thing. Take a note. Take a note. The letter A, right? We are appointed of God. Appointed of God. 2 Corinthians 5:18, we just read it a minute ago, but it says, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, when I got born again of God's Spirit, confess Romans 10, 9 and 10, right? I was appointed. I didn't even get the interview. I didn't even go out there and I didn't even get, couldn't even fill out the resume. Like I said, I was born again and God said, appointed. Wait a minute. Let me tell you my qualification. Appointed. Get out there, do the job. You were appointed. We are appointed by God Almighty. Jerry read last night, Ephesians 1:4, I think, chosen. We were chosen before him and him before the foundation of the world, right? Yes, we've been appointed by God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We've been given this responsibility, this joy, this privilege to hold forth the word as ambassadors of God. You know, if you are an ambassador of the United States of America, the president calls you up and says, Drew, I want you to be an ambassador for the country of Ecuador. Anybody from Ecuador in here? Oh, okay. So I'm the ambassador of Ecuador because I speak such great Spanish and I know all about the country. And in a real world, I would know exactly everything to do about, I know everything about Ecuador I could possibly know. But I would go there as ambassador representing not Ecuador, but the United States of America, right? I would be that president's representative of my country. I would know my constitution. I would know my Bill of Rights. I would know the wishes and desires of the president and also of the United States of America. And I would go to that country and I would be a representative of the United States of America to that country. And I would have all the rights and privileges of the United States of America, even though I was living in a foreign country. That's right. I would be that ambassador to that country. I would speak for the president. No one would be higher in authority than me in that country. That's exactly right. We are ambassadors. We reflect the values and the morals of God Almighty. That's who we are as ambassadors. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his son, or more literal, given us citizenship by the work of his dear son. We are not citizens of the United States. We're dual citizens. We are citizens of heaven. And we are ambassadors to the world. That's us. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through as an ambassador. That's right. So that is us. We are ambassadors. An ambassador appointed. How many of you are retired? Nope. There's no retirement in this appointment. No retirement. No. You're appointed from birth, new birth, to death. You're an ambassador. You're an ambassador today, tomorrow, and until you take your last breath. That's right. We have been appointed of God. There's no age requirement. No age requirement as far as an ambassador of God goes. Now, my granddaughter Addison, when she meets another little friend, she goes up and says, "Do you believe in God?" And they go, "Yeah." And she quotes them Romans 10, 9 and 10. Said, "Do you believe that?" Four and a half years old. Blows my mind. You know, isn't that great? And then she goes, and then our next question is, "Who are you voting for?" Kamala's poop, she says. I don't know where she gets that from, but anyway. Anyway, no requirement, no experience necessary. That's right, because you can get on the job training in this role. All right, A, appointed. Next letter, M, mentally prepared. You are mentally prepared for this job. You have the manual. You've been committed the word of reconciliation. We have in Timothy, it says to study to show yourself approved, right? We have the manual, we study, we learn what it is to be an ambassador. How do I act? What do I do? What are my responsibilities? What are my privileges? We act accordingly. 2 Timothy 3:16, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know, so that the man of God might be perfect, through and through and truly furnished. That is being mentally prepared. Mentally prepared. We grow and increase. You don't come into the job. I said you don't come into the job knowing everything. It's on the job training. You learn, you grow, you increase in your knowledge and understanding and application of who you are in Christ and what you do. All right, that's M. Next letter, B. All right, everybody put B down? B. All right, here we go. B, a believing believer. And I say it twice because there's a lot of believers out there. There are a lot of people that have been born again of God's Spirit. We know that. But there are not a lot of people out there who take God's word and apply it in their life and make it their whole life and live it. That is the B, a believing believer. A believing believer. Not just knowledgeable of the word, that's important, but acting on the word. I think Jerry covered that very well last night, didn't he? In fact, I meant to tell you earlier, everything Jerry said, I'm going to say it again, just in a different way. Because, I mean, you know, it's the word. I mean, what do we do? Look in Acts chapter 3, a believing believer. Acts chapter 3. Verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Was this his first visit to the temple, you think?
No.
Probably not. Hey, what about Jesus? Did he ever go to the temple?
Yes.
Yeah, I wonder if he went that way too. Probably. Okay, anyway. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go in into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us, look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. That is a believing believer. We talked about expecting miracles and healing. That is a big part of being a believer, but there's other parts to being a believer too. That's one part, but what about this one? Now I almost hate to read you this one. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm not going to read you the verse. I'm going to read you the literal translation that Dr. Rell gave us in this, The Bible Tells Me So. Everybody may have read this book. It's a good book. Anyway, The Walk of Youth. Okay, listen to this. Allow no one to think despairingly of you as a youth. Any youths in here? I'm one. I'm 71 years young. I'm a young guy, just getting started. Anyway, become, not you are, become a believer's example in the quietness, serenity, self-composure, you have within yourself because of your study and knowledge of the rightly divided revealed word. Wow. You become that way. How do you become that way except by reading the word and studying it and then seeing what God's word says about you and then doing it. Then doing it, putting it in practice in your life, that quietness, that serenity, that peacefulness. Man, people need that, don't they? And when they see you that way, they want to be like you. They want that. They want that in their lives. That is how we attract people. The other night, we were listening to a teaching on living victoriously worldwide, and Dr. Rarrell spent a bunch of time, a lot more time than I remember, about being attractive, being personable, being appealing to people. Because who wants to hang out with, you know, a bummer, right? Who wants to be hanging out with someone who has no energy or excitement or enthusiasm? Who wants to hang out with someone who's negative or griping along with everybody else about all the stuff? No. Who wants to be hanging out with someone who's full of anxiety and worry and fears? No, we are to become an example in the serenity, self-composure you have within yourself. Become an example in your behavior and manner of life. Your behavior and manner of life. You know, 35 years ago, if I was up here teaching, or any of the guys were up here teaching, what would we have been wearing? That's right, a suit, three-piece, right? You know? Because that was the proper thing to do. That was what was acceptable. That's what was expected. That was what was a blessing. You know, the times change. I washed my shirt, so it's clean, and I put my, you know, I don't have my suit on. But your manner of life, everything that you do in your life is a reflection upon who you are and who you represent as an ambassador of God, an ambassador for Christ. So your manner of life, your whole life reflects that. Everything that you do, everything that you say, every action you take is a reflection of that. People will notice if you're a good husband. They'll notice if you're a good wife. They'll notice if you're a good family man that loves your kids, takes care of them, right? They notice that. They want that in their lives. They want to see that. That's attractive to people. That's what gets people's attention a lot of times, you know? Not that you're flying off at the handle and ticked off about everything that goes on and you're complaining with everybody else at your job. No, you are an example in behavior and manner of life. Become an example in the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation. Wow. Become an example in believing action in your life. Become that way. Become that way as an ambassador for Christ. Become an example in your uncontaminated leadership. That is the job of an ambassador. Not only to speak the word, but to live the word, to be the word. All right. Who can think of the next letter? A. Well, you guys are good. I like this. A. All right. A. Attentive, alert, aware. That's right. You know, when you walk in a room, like Jerry spoke the other night, you walk in there, is there good spirits in here or bad ones, right? You're checking it out. When you go into the supermarket, you're aware of what's going on around your surroundings. Or at work, you're aware, you're alert. You see what's going on. You're paying attention to what's going on around you because you're an ambassador. You need to know what's going on. If there was a W in this word, I would say walking by the Spirit, but alert. Alert. Pay attention to what's going on. Acts chapter 17. And in verse 16. Acts 17, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Paul was waiting for Silas and Timothy, I think. To come. And while he was there, he checked into the Holiday Inn and took a nap until they got... No. He was out and about. He was checking the city out. Athens. Anybody ever been to Athens? Crazy place. A lot of Greeks there. Paul was there. He was hanging around. He was checking out the city. He was aware of where he was. what was going on. He was checking out the culture. He was checking out what people were talking about. He was looking it over. You know, why? Because he was an ambassador. He was there to do a job. He was there to do something. He was checking it out. Anyway, therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. There were certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Others, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preacheth unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, I think that's how you say it. How do you say that, Jerry? Areopagus, I don't know. Anyway, that place there. May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. Thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these mean. For all the Athenians were and strangers which were there spent time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. And if you go to Greece today, that's still what they're doing. They're sitting around in the plaka drinking ouzo and just talking about nothing. Strange things, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, that's what they did when I was there. Then Paul stood up in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. Now, he might have gotten revelation on that, but I got a feeling he just looked around and could figure that out. He could just see what the heck was going on around there, because he was aware of what was going on. He was aware. And then he did this great thing. I wish I was this smart. He said, and as I passed by, behold, your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. And then he taught them about Jesus Christ. That's pretty clever, isn't it? That's sharp. That's being aware. That's being like, you know what's going on around you. You know what's going on around you. Aware. Paul was aware. Doesn't mean he was acting right away. Doesn't mean he was jumping at the bit to do something. He was aware, and then when the time was right, then he acted. Then he did it. He did it. Some of those people believed. Some thought he was crazy, but some believed. There must have been some profit there, right? Absolutely. All right, next letter, S. Sent ones. Now I must take a moment to give you a public announcement. So hold the teaching here. So I'm sitting in my office on Sunday, and all of a sudden, this 28-foot U-Haul truck and six cars pull down my street into my driveway. Now, me being a curious man as I am, I walk out there, and lo and behold, it's ambassadors from New Jersey, light bearers, coming. Yeah, that's right. And we are so excited and blessed to have them. They are doing great. I just wanted to let you guys know that. They're all at our house living with us for a very short time. But we're having fun. Everybody's doing their thing, getting it going, and we can't be more excited about their lives and what they bring to our life and to the city of Charlotte and beyond. They send their love, and I know they'd love to be here, but they're on a mission from God. So they're busy. So, sent one. They are sent ones. Sent ones to deliver the message verbatim. Verbatim. If you call my house, my answering machine, and I'm not there, my answering machine will pick up and say, hello, you've reached Drew Pappas and Drew Pappas window cleaning. That's me. He's not here now, but if you leave your message, I'm an excellent message taker. I will give it to him verbatim. And you know, when I come home and that message machine will tell me the message exactly how it was spoken. It's crazy how that works. Exactly the ums, the uhs, the everything. Everything. We are sent ones, sent to deliver the message verbatim. Verbatim. Acts chapter 4. I got to move faster. All right, Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers and the people of and elders of Israel, if this day we be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, doth this man stand here before you whole, and so on and so forth. And you know what they did? They said, holy cow, these guys must have been with Jesus. Because that's what Jesus was talking about. Holy cow, they came and delivered the message verbatim. They delivered the message exactly. They delivered the message of salvation exactly how it was supposed to be. What if they had gone in and said, well, you know, we want to get you water baptized, right? We're just talking about salvation, water baptized. And don't forget about the circumcision. We need that to be saved, right? And confess your sins. And if you slip, you could backslide. No. That's not the message verbatim, is it?
No,
that's not the message verbatim. As an ambassador, we are appointed of God. We're mentally prepared. We're believing believers. We are aware of our situation. We are sent ones to speak the message verbatim, to speak the message as it is given. We don't add a word. We don't change a word. We don't delete a word. That will get you into trouble, as Adam and Eve will tell you. Right. Next letter, S. Speak boldly. Acts 2, verse 14. Speak boldly. 2:14. It's the day of Pentecost. They were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. Got the Holy Spirit. Something happened. Now, they're ready to go. And the very thing that got Jesus Christ crucified, now Peter's standing up in front of those very same people and with the 11, and he lifts up his voice and he lets them have it with God's word. He lets them know what the score is. He spoke boldly. He spoke boldly about those things. He spoke boldly. We are workers together with God. We believe in our product. We believe in the job that we're doing. We know what it is. We do it with boldness. We speak God's word with boldness. You know, God appointed them to be ambassadors, to be his spokesman. Do you think God would leave them? No, we're talking about workers together, right? Yeah. I have a friend, his name's Blister. It's not his real name, but he shows up when all the work's done. That's right. That's not God. He didn't show up when all the work. He's there working with. He's rolled up his. He's working together with you and with me. That's right. No Blister here. It doesn't mean you always are speaking. Sometimes you need to be quiet, don't you? Yes, that's right. Sometimes you just need to listen and see what's going on. And then when it's time to speak, then you can speak boldly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Jerry read this last night too, I believe. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If he didn't, he should have. No, I'm just kidding. All right, verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. Oh, man. And we were shamefully entreated. As you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. That's right. We speak boldly. We speak boldly. And I almost hate to read you this one, but look at Galatians chapter 2. We as ambassadors, if you're an ambassador in a foreign country, not only do you represent the United States of America in the example I'm giving you, but you also are there for the citizens of the United States that are there in that country also. You are there to help them also. As believers, as ambassadors in this world, not only we are speaking the word boldly to people who have not heard the word, reconciliation, but we also speak it to one another, right? Yeah, exactly. Chapter 2, verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, Paul says, I withstood him to the face, for he was to be blamed. I almost hate to read that. It's just crazy to me that something like that could happen, that Paul would get so ticked at the apostle Peter that he was standing to the face. And I'm sure he just didn't say, hey, Peter. He grabbed him. You know, I don't know what he did. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. No. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, and then he let him have what he needed to hear. Spoke the word boldly. That's the second S. That's the second one. What's the next one? Oh, here we go. Another A. Always ready. Always ready. Acts 8:26. Always ready. Acts 8:26. We looked at this record last night too. Acts 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go to the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And he ran and he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? Wow. That's a good line. I don't know if you use that line every time you see someone reading the Bible. If you're at the Circle K on your way back home from this fellowship this weekend and you see someone pull up in their limousine and you peek in and they're reading the Bible, maybe you go up and say, do you understand what you read? Or maybe you don't. I don't know, but God will let you know. But you're always ready. You're always ready. Doesn't mean you always act, but you're always ready. D, big D, drunk and disorderly. No. Determined, disciplined, dedicated. If you could put all those words into some Greek word, what would it be? Doulos, that's right, doulos. Do I need to tell you about a doulos? You all know about a doulos. You're a son of God this way to your brothers and sisters and mankind, you are a servant. You're a servant. You pour your life out. You pour your soul out to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You pour your soul out in your responsibility as a minister of reconciliation. You pour your life out. You do everything that you can do. Paul, when he was there, he labored hard. He worked hard, diligent. He travailed night and day working for God's people to bless them. Doulos. Obedient. Acts chapter 10. We got to look at this. Acts 10, real quick. Acts 10, and in verse 9. And on the morrow, Acts 10:9, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he prayed, and you remember he saw a vision, right? She coming down, and God said, eat. Oh, I don't eat pork. No, no way. God was showing him something. Three times he had to show him. Three times. Man, it'd be like, Drew, I want you to go down to the hood and get in there and tell everybody about, you know, right? So the most reviled, the most disgusting, the most unacceptable thing that he could possibly think of, God asked him to do. Crazy, huh? I can't even imagine how it was. And yet, he obeyed. He went. He went there, he taught him the word, and the first time Gentiles believed the word of God, he was obedient unto God's word. On the other hand, Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem. Remember that? Yeah, Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem. God said, don't go to Jerusalem. Paul said, I want to go to Jerusalem. Paul said, I don't want to go to Jerusalem. God said, don't go to Jerusalem. Three times? I don't know how many times. Anyway, Paul went to Jerusalem, right? Didn't work out so good. Didn't work out so good. Obedient, obedient. When God says jump, you jump. When God says do something, do it. That is the role of an ambassador. That is the role of an ambassador. And then the last letter, R, ambassador. You are a representative. You are a representative of God in Christ in you. You are a representative of all that God has for his people. You represent God. You take the place of the absent Christ. It is you and me who have this responsibility and blessing. And we're going to close here looking in Acts chapter 19. Because in this chapter, you can see all of these characteristics. And these aren't all of them. These are just some that I found to be very true and interesting. There's others. There's others for sure. And you can, when you go through your notes and look again, you could probably do a teaching on each one of these and probably dozens more about what an ambassador is. But I wanted you to have something that you could, when you think of an ambassador, you can think, I'm appointed. I'm mentally prepared. You know, I'm a believing believer. I'm aware of what's going on around me. I'm a sent one, you know. You can remember these things. I speak boldly. I'm always ready to speak the word. I am a doulos. I am obedient to God. So that's why I told you it would be so easy to remember this teaching, right? It's like, that's so stupid, right? Yeah. Every morning when you wake up, you're an ambassador. You can checklist, ready to go. Ready to go, ready to do it. Acts 19, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Were they believers? Yeah. Yeah. Have you? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Well, he taught them God's word. He laid his hands on them. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. He did all those things that we've been talking about. Every one of them come into play here. Every one of them. He was ready to do it. He was ready to go. Now, and so then he took them and taught them God's word, right? In the school of one, in the synagogue, he spoke boldly there. And then in verse 9, when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, imputing to the school of Tyrannus. So there he is. He was there. He took those people who want to hear the word, and he taught them the word of God. He taught them about being an ambassador. He taught them about Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? He taught them the mystery. He taught them everything that God had revealed to him. And this continued by the space of 2 years. 2 years. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord. How did that happen? Did Paul run around and tell everybody about Jesus Christ? Well, he did, but he couldn't go to all Asia. No, he taught those faithful men who wanted to know, and they were ambassadors. They were ambassadors. They spoke the word. They did what Paul did. They were followers of him, right? They followed that word that Paul taught. And they went out and held forth the word of God. They demonstrated God's word. And that's how all Asia heard the word in 2 years and in 3 months. In verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Wow. Our role, our job, our responsibility as ambassadors is very important. God has not given it to angels. He hasn't given it to your twig coordinator only, your limb coordinator, whatever you call it. I forget what we call these people. State coordinator, you know, whatever. You know, he is giving it to each of us. It's our responsibility, our job, to hold forth God's word and to minister God's deliverance to people. We are to demonstrate God's word. And I want to close with this little demonstration. Some of you know I like to play golf, okay? So don't hold it against me. And every so often, when we're out at the golf course, they'll have a demo day, it's called. So Titleist will come out there and they'll set up a little shop and they'll bring all the Titleist golf clubs out there and then you get to look at them all and go, wow. And the guy will go, oh, Drew, come look at this driver. I know you don't want to hit the ball further, right? I go, yeah, I do, yeah, I got to do that. And he goes up there and he says, I'm just going to do it like this, okay? So he says, Drew, look at this club. It's beautiful, isn't it? I go, okay, it is. It's just, oh, you know. And he says, now watch this. And now, oh, I can't believe it. Do that again. He does it. He demonstrates it again. I said, that's incredible. I can't believe it. How do you do that? How is that even possible? And he says, here, Drew, try it. Try it. You'll love it. And I go up there and I kick that club and whoosh, oh, the game is getting better. You know, it's so exciting. I'm so blessed. He has represented that club to me and demonstrated it to me, and it is appealing. I want it. I have to have it, and I got it. Right? You are ambassadors. You are representing God. You are demonstrating God to the world. That is who you and I are. And I am so blessed to be with you to stand as ambassadors and workers together with Christ. You guys are the best. Father, thank you for your love, your goodness, your blessings to our lives. I thank you so much for these wonderful people, these great believing believers, these fantastic ambassadors who stand shoulder to shoulder and want nothing more than to see the greatness of your word and your love spread around this world. We thank you, Father, for the strength, the courage, the determination, the fortitude, everything it takes to be the best ambassador that the world has ever seen. We thank you in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.